I heard a theory that the Goblin King was her mom's boyfriend because he shows up in a picture when she's in her room.
Welcome to Blackness Attack, everybody. That's how we're starting the episode. Hello.
Hi.
I wasn't paying attention at all.
Yeah, I don't know.
I was like,
I don't know how to feel about this.
Exactly. That's why I started the episode.
That entire conversation was an entire journey through a labyrinth.
at least the last little bit of that conversation. To start the episode, and an episode of what, you may ask? Why, I'm glad you asked, because this is Reckless Attack, a 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons actual play podcast. I am, as always, your GM, Nathan. Excited to be here with the lovely Reckless Attack players, which sounds like a fun kind of like theater troupe name that we, you know, could maybe play around with.
Like an improv group.
I like it maybe less now, actually.
Well, we do like it even less now that it abbreviates to rap.
Well, we always knew it abbreviated to rap.
It comes back around a little bit, I guess, actually, now that I think about it. But let's have the members of this rap ensemble introduce themselves, starting with...
My name is Checkers, and I'm here to say, I don't know.
You really just jumped. Yeah. To be clear to the audience,
yeah,
we did not edit.
There was no hesitation.
Yeah. We did not do anything to make Jonathan look better.
I love causing trouble in a major way.
Yes, thank you, Steve. Thank you for finishing that for me.
And that's why we are an ensemble.
Yes, right. Teamwork. That's all I got.
Okay.
And to you, Sophie.
Hi, everybody. I'm Sophie, and I play Valeska Carter, the human astral cleric of the Arcana Domain, and I can't rap that because it just...
It didn't rhyme at all, Sophie.
It flows, and I can in no way...
It's a runaway train. You cannot stop it. Yeah.
To the other player who has a jingle.
Hi, everyone. I'm David, and I'm going to practice my leadership today by delegating my intro to Steve. Steve, please rap my intro.
Oh, boy.
That's like a sad commentary on like corporate America too, where it's not only I'm outsourcing my own job, but also I'm making it 100 times harder.
Absolutely. Deadline is in 2 minutes, Steve. Yes, you better write something good.
My name is Cass and I'm a warlock. If you don't like that, then I'll say stop.
That was actually
Yeah.
Oh boy. Ooh. Well, good thing I don't have to do any of those anymore. Oh, wait, I still got to go. Hello, everyone. My name is Slim Selvy.
Your name is definitely not that.
No, it's not. My name is Steve, and I am playing Selv Asterlin, the dragonborn monk who doesn't rap.
Who has never rapped.
No.
A single
never
day
heard
in his
of
life.
Such
nope, not at all.
Doesn't rap gifts.
How?
Doesn't rap tortillas. Nothing.
How many mouse warts does the self need to grab?
Well, it's -1 is wisdom per mouse wart. So he's got to drink 6?
Quite a lot of them. Yeah, he's a pretty high wisdom nowadays. I have no good transition. I was really hoping I could pull something. But we find ourselves in a slightly more serious situation.
Where's your rap, Nathan?
I have delegated.
Great.
All
Steve, go!
Here is Nathan. He's the dungeon master. He'll cause us to have a disaster.
That's okay. All right. That's pretty good. But also at the same time, I have never once in my entire life wanted to ask you all to roll for initiative more.
Right now.
That's
ever.
Fair. That's
and
fair.
Just rocks fall in real life. But yes, things are a little weird, a little chaotic for the Golden Tree Adventuring Guild at the moment. First and foremost, the guard captain, Jack Brill, informed them that one of the premier natural landmarks of the city, maybe even of the whole area, the Waveless Lake, had waves, which is surprising.
I mean, based on its name, it had one job.
Pretty much, yes. There's one defining feature, and it has drastically changed its personality. Maybe it went through a breakup. Maybe something bad's happening. But he asked you guys to come check.
The lake, formerly known as Waveless.
Is this the lake's equivalent of getting bangs?
That's what I'm saying. It's like, we don't know yet. This is a fact-finding mission that you guys are on at the moment.
You know, new hairdo. Maybe it's all just kind of on the top.
And to make things worse, when it comes to Oh, well, maybe it is the lake whose feelings are hurt. Checkers is missing. Mm. It may have done something to hurt the lake's feelings. I don't know. This metaphor has really run out of steam. But you guys did find out that Checkers, as well as three kids that he was in charge of, have gone missing. Now, usually the lake, pretty chill to get over. At the moment, it's a little more chaotic, what with both the waves and a lot of boats that were not really designed to be on waves. And also, all of the natural wildlife seems to have gone cuckoo bananas. But luckily, the Golden Tree Adventuring Guild is here to help. This is a time of crisis. Something is happening, and you guys know that a member of your guild is squarely in the middle of this. Maybe at the cause of it. You're not sure. I mean, who's to say? The fingers, what's the use of pointing them?
If anybody in our guild is going to be the one to disrupt the lawful, flat, waveless lake.
Probably, yes.
Innocent until proven guilty.
Exactly. Something that Checkers repeats frequently.
Yeah, right. Yes.
Checkers' famous catchphrase. Yes. The Golden Tree Adventuring Guild, or at least again, the ones who are with us at the moment, find themselves on a... it was very funny, before show, everyone at the table's like, hey, we want to make very sure that we're not just stealing people's boats to go on adventures. And I appreciate that, and I think you as listeners need to know that, you know, they are heroes in all aspects of play. So you have a grateful fisherman who once was a guilder, in fact, donates his boat happily to you guys. It's old Tom. Yep, he's old Bill. He has a real friendship with old Bill, and he is heartbroken to see his best friend, the Pelican, kind of in such a state, and is more than happy to give you guys his, like, schooner to go and try and stop this. The three of you, without too much trouble, are able to all kind of load onto the boat. In fact, old Tom himself will drive you over because, quick poll, does anyone have water vehicle proficiency in the party?
Nope.
Yeah.
He took one look at us and like, you are
land lovers. You ain't lake folk. And so you guys are ferried across the waveless lake. It is not an easy journey. These waves are getting choppy. To make it worse, all of the water smells putrid, smells spoiled, smells just gross and rotting. To make it even worse, is you have this feeling of like emotional discomfort as you are approaching the island as well. But thankfully, old Tom, through a lot of nonsensical cursing, is able to pilot you guys onto the island itself, where you find three children.
So I was dragging this nest back to win a contest, and then we went into a cave, and then vines attacked us. And there were vines everywhere, and then Checkers sacrificed, well, allegedly sacrificed himself for us. And we don't know what happened to him because he told us to run, and then we ended up here, and then you were here, and then we don't know what happened because Checkers is back there, and we don't know what to do because anybody else can jump in anytime they want.
Yeah, what he said. Mr. Frog is in there fighting those vines all by himself.
Checkers could be dead, and we don't know because he told us to run, and we don't want to say we're going against what he said, but we can't save him, but he could be dead.
I changed my mind. The Golden Tree Adventuring Guild will not be appearing in this episode. It'll just be these children recapping the day. And I think it will be a very good episode, and I'd like to just explore that for a little while longer, please.
I feel like, though, our guilder characters would understand based on Checkers' storytelling.
Yes. Checkers has trained these kids well to provide this information.
It's been a big day for these kids. Right. They've been molded.
Yep.
And you can see they're all wearing little frog badges as they are all kind of gesticulating wildly. Does anyone say anything to, like, any instructions or to calm these kids down as they are jumping up and down and, like, pointing over their shoulder to indicate where the cave they just ran from is.
I am sure Val is trying to calm these kids down.
Yeah, Casca's doing something.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Like, Val's like casting in code thoughts of like happy, happy memories. I'm just like, no, everything is going to be fine. It's okay. We're here now.
And I feel like Val has canonically some kind of food or granola with her.
That's also
at all times. Yeah, yes. So.
Also true. They can have a snack.
Yeah, and Val will like corral the kids by Old Tom, who I am choosing to believe has a horde of grandkids, mm-hmm. and he knows how to turn a frown upside down.
Werther's originals for everyone.
Yes.
And Werther, of course, being the ancient necromancer who turned
slash candy maker.
Yeah. Yes,
who exactly. combined butter and scotch.
Right. Yes,
when you have eternal life, you need to find some hobbies.
Yes, exactly. And he happily mumbles something as that is immediately deeply comforting to all three of these kids. The only question that I have for the three of you is: Old Tom is here. The boat is here. The kids are here. Are you guys going to have Old Tom ferry the kids back and potentially strand you guys, or leave the boat unguarded and hope that nothing jumps out and tries to attack the boat? Are you going to say, hey, wait here. Hopefully we'll be back shortly.
Cass would probably have Old Tom go back with the kids now. Because we don't know, like, Cascarin doesn't know what's on this island, necessarily, mm-hmm. and it seems like the waves are getting worse. This emotion, the smell, like, whatever's happening here is clearly escalating. And so, his priority is to get the kids back to shore, and I assume we know we can get back somehow.
Afterwards. Save the kids.
Yeah.
They know we're here.
Right.
Hopefully, we fix this, and they send a boat back.
So you, Cascarin, you kind of turn and tell this to Old Tom, and he looks at you, and he kind of squints his eyes, puts an arm on your shoulder. It's like, you don't worry about me, I'll leave his or her. You're good.
And then a little goblin voice hits your ears with, wait a minute, we just ran here. Why can't we just run back?
Well, you just been getting in the boat.
And he like starts ushering these children in and like leaving just a trail of Werther's for them to just like pick up like breadcrumbs.
And Cascarin waves as Old Tom and the small kids row their way back to shore.
Are you at least allegedly responsible for us?
You can hear it carries supernaturally over the waves as if it is somehow more resonant on the water than it ever was on land. The three of you find yourselves on the island. Have either of the three of you, do you think, have you been here before? Again, you're familiar with it. You guys would definitely know the various rumors and lores and such about it. But yeah, would you have made a trek out here at this point?
I would say, just based on how people view the island as like a sacred place, I'm going to say no. Self mm-hmm. has actually not been on the island.
Yeah.
It's more of a, it's sacred to them, so I am not going to go there and without being invited.
Yeah. Cascarin has like never had a reason to come here, so
exactly.
No reason to.
Val is definitely on Val's list, and she was working on getting invited herself. She had connections who were like, well, maybe the next pilgrimage out to the island.
Right.
Yes. Bring her along.
In somewhere like 2 to 3 years when we do this next, and the next, you know, there's an open spot on the research team.
Yeah.
Yes. Understood.
Or, you know, just an observer of the ritual and things like that. So,
but something that strikes you guys, just like it struck the kids, is the vibe of this place is that of wildness. It is as if someone took a bit of land in the most remote part of the forest and just plopped it in the middle of the lake. Because the tree line hits hard. There's a lot of undergrowth. There are no paths that are trod anywhere. It is just nature.
Now that we're here, actually, Cascarin is taking a look around. And is there anything that's out of the ordinary, like, as we're just getting here?
Now that you're on the island, Cascarin, God, your skin itches.
Yeah, like, Cascarin does not feel good.
There's something crawling under your skin is what it feels like. Again, not literally. You don't see the mummy-style bulges of scarabs, but there is something fundamentally irritating about this place that is just oppressive and little pinpricks all over your body, including the kind of stonier parts of it.
Kaskrin, as we're walking forward, turns to Val and asks, Val, before we go in, is there anything we should know about this island? Anything from the history texts?
I mean, the main thing to know is that Saint Air Stillwater had some momentous event on this island and presumably is what caused it to become waveless. Details are shrouded, but there's said to be some type of shrine marking. Only those who worship that saint really know the details of what was here as a remembrance to that saint.
Kaskrin nods and says, we'll have to keep an eye out for that shrine then. By the looks of it, something's going on here.
One quick question while we're kind of walking in there. Is there anything that looks like it's growing here that would be the equivalent of mint? Anything that would generally smell better or that maybe Selv can rub on his nose?
You can roll me a nature check.
21.
So as you guys are walking, I'll say that you are able to find like a particularly fragrant type of like rose, maybe, you know, where you can just pluck a flower and just kind of hold it and crush it next to your nose so you can get at least a little bit of relief as you walk, as the kind of oils and stuff get released.
And I will pass them out and just say,
put this by your nose. It helps with the smell.
This isn't a prank, is it?
Did you
no,
know
of course not.
That the mortal brain can actually become desensitized to smells in roughly 60 seconds?
I think it's been longer than 60 seconds, Val. I don't
well,
know.
Well, this isn't a particularly strong scent. It will take a lot of time. But I'm just saying.
I might categorize this scent as supernatural and possibly immune to being become used to. Because, ugh.
Oh, look, we're at the cave.
Kaskrin, through your canny stone senses, right? You're like, wait a second. The depth of this ground changes a few feet up there.
Yeah, look at that.
And just in front of you, indeed, is the same cave structure that I described to the children, which, though your characters wouldn't know it, does actually look pretty much the same. It is still the kind of nondescript yet generally, ooh, it's a spooky cave to go adventuring in kind of look.
Do we just hear checkers getting thrown back and forth in there? Just like,
is that all you got?
Unfortunately, you don't hear anything. There is a little bit of kind of raucous waves happening still that maybe you still get a little bit of a glimpse of, an ear glimpse of. Yep, that's the words that I'm choosing to use. But it is very silent.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by A Foul Light Shines, a new free serial novel based on a D&D campaign. The Empire of Fire and Water has known 20 golden years of peace since the end of Aegenion's War. A peace which is now in peril. When a ragtag group of friends intervene in a grotesque monster attack, they're too late to save a wounded man who leaves them with an encrypted journal and the words, "Trust no one, Tyr." Can the gang find Tyr, escape the claws of more strange monsters, and uncover the lurking threat to the Empire before it's too late? This story features themes of found family and strength in diversity, and is available for free on Campfire and Royal Road. A Foul Light Shines. Come for the fantasy. Stay for the cheese-obsessed goblin gunslinger.
Hello, everyone. GM Nathan here. And welcome once more to the Midroll.
This is where I remind you to follow us on all the social medias, particularly on Twitter at @reckless_attack, where we are posting a variety of frogs and memes and frog memes and meme frogs. You can find all our socials by visiting our website at recklessattack.com and much more. If you like us, consider supporting us on Patreon. It's one of the best ways to help us grow and improve the show. Early ad-free episodes, level-up talkbacks, and oodles of other stuff await you there at a variety of tiers. Lastly, don't forget to tell a friend if you're enjoying the show, or let us know by leaving a rating or review on your podcatcher of choice. That's all for me. Enjoy the rest of the episode.
Kaskrin motions to the rest of the group and just says, "Eyes and ears sharp, everyone. We don't know what's in there."
Val, could you make me a constitution saving throw, please?
No. A 9.
You take...
A 10!
You take 4 points of, of psychic damage.
Oof.
As all three of you hear a distorted voice ring through your head. Like it is almost squeezing your brain as this happens. You can catch the words.
"The mortal meat sings to me."
And it just rattles your brain in your skull, and then things go silent once more.
Anyone else hear that?
Val, that wasn't you, right?
Definitely not. And that hurt so much.
Caspian's going to pick up the pace a little bit after hearing that. And he's even too, like, he can normally see, but he's going to pull out a torch and, like, try to illuminate the area.
Val will cast light on self-staff.
Okay, cool.
Cool. Having open flame is often a good thing when dungeon delving. So you guys go into this cave. You can see certainly the remnants of some sort of battle, and you can sort of fit together a little bit of a scene here. But on the far side of this cave, and you can certainly keep exploring the cave if you so choose, but on the far side of this is a large hole that looks as if it has just been a cascade of rock and earth be pulled down into a rubble pile and some darker cavern going down from there.
Kaskrin is going to point towards the hole, and he's actually going to send out a message. So he's going to cast the cantrip message pointed generally and cast in Checker's general direction, just saying, "Hold on. If you can hear us, we're almost there." Kaskrin's going to go farther in, a little bit slower. He's going to kind of like gingerly take his time going through this hole into the depth below. Does he hear anything else as we get closer to whatever's down there?
The only thing that you can hear are the echoes of your footsteps.
Okay.
Val will pick up a rock and cast light on it and hold it out to Kaskrin with like a question on her face of like, and like hold her hand out for Kas to grab the stone.
Yeah. And Kaskrin will take it, and he takes a practiced stance to toss this rock further down this cave and see what's at the end of it.
Everyone roll me a perception check.
Natural 20!
Natural 20!
Oh, wow.
No way, really?
Natural 10!
Okay, well, less exciting. That's great news, because... Because
we fucked up.
Yeah, right? You're done, goofed.
No, because a few interesting things happen. First, you huck this rock, and there's a moment as it is flying through the air. All of your senses are kind of the most attuned to danger and information as they can be. And both Val and Kaskrin see that this rock, which just appears to be, you know, just kind of nothing particularly notable about it, has some sort of, like, paint on it.
and it goes hurtling into the darkness. The two of you hear it just kind of bounces around on earth, on rock, until it hits a different sounding material. It starts, you know, kind of like skidding and hitting things differently and doing more of a click-clack than a, I'm not going to try and describe.
Like rock falling.
Exactly. Kind of like there's something solid and refined down there, I guess. So that's what you know.
I guess we can keep moving very slowly. And Val will look down to open the trinket that Checkers. Okay, it's the Fortunate Skull?
It's the Fortunate Skull, yep.
That casts light, and she will point it at the rocks beneath her, because that one had paint on it, and mm-hmm. she's like, well, did we just throw Checker's message away? Like, oh no.
And I'm just going to roll over the natural 20, at least for this part, but to you guys, it seems like there was something painted on the rocks that were once here and kind of a sheer wall, I guess, if that mm-hmm. all makes sense.
Now that we've seen a little bit more of about what's down there, Castgren is going to try and get a little bit more attuned to the stone around him.
Cool.
And so he knows we walked into this cave. We saw this giant hole at the end of it, kind of like ripped open from the wall. Just beyond that, there's a little bit of space leading down into now what could have been a mural, a bunch of painted rocks that were destroyed somehow. And so he wants to see, like, where, like, when did these rocks come from? Like, what could have been here before? And Catherine's going to try and, like, figure out what's the history of this? Like, how recently was this built and destroyed?
Yeah, I love that. So roll me an maybe investigation yeah. check or a stone
yeah,
check, but with advantage.
Awesome. Natural 20.
Okay. Wow. Don't roll a second time. So what you can tell, Castgren, is this was essentially kind of a fashioned brick wall in a way, where it was using natural rocks and kind of building it intentionally. So someone built this barrier that was previously there. And you can tell that the kind of markings of paint or dye or whatever is on this, on these little hunks that remain, is old. Old, 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 old.
Okay.
I know it's going to be highly unlikely, but is there any way to determine what it was a mural of? What was it? Was it figures? Was it like a landscape?
Everyone can roll a quick... Just roll me a
d20. A 19 on the die.
Castgren's a 2.
Selv with a 15 on the die.
I think both... No, I think only Val gets this. You realize that this was some sort of ward
yeah.
or sigil that was here that had... maybe some sort of arcane power to it that is now scattered on the ground.
And it wasn't necessarily a mural, but just like a large glyph on this built-up wall.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Hey, everyone, roll me Constitution saving throw, please. Sophie, can you do that with disadvantage?
Well, I rolled a 10 again.
Castgren has a 22.
Zelv with a 14.
Okay, you guys actually all pass.
Oh, really?
11 was the DC. It's Oof. Not, this one's not too big. But once again, you guys can feel your brain rattling. And all of you guys are actually able to steel yourself. You could, because now you realize, like, just as this voice once again kind of rings out in your minds, you can feel just a little bit of pressure as it starts to happen. So you can kind of realize, uh-oh, and kind of steel yourself accordingly. But this voice calls out again.
I can hear it all once more.
Catherine's going to try and reply to it like it's a message or a sending. What do you mean? Who are you?
All you can hear is the shifting of mud and gravel and rocks underneath your feet.
I think we need to keep moving.
Yeah. Kaskrin takes another few steps through this kind of entryway of the destroyed ward and kind of takes a look around.
So you all proceed, and sure enough, you can start to see the glow of the rock, and you see tile just start at the bottom of this tunnel. You look around, and it is a very old, and I mean that just in terms of certainly it is no one is using it, and also it is very dated stylistically. Mm-hmm. It is the equivalent of
shag tile.
Yeah, right. It is it is the equivalent of if one of us in today's age walked into like an ancient Greek bath or something like that. And it is just so obviously not of this time that it stands out to all of you. It is a fairly Spartan place. There is, again, tile laid out in front of you all that all seems to be still well preserved, and the tile seems to lay out some sort of pattern below you, but it's kind of hard to take it all in because obscuring some of that are two other landmarks in this room. Right in the center is what appears to be a woven basket of some sort. It is 6-7 feet long and has a cover on top of it. And behind it is what appears to be a well.
Kaskrin is going to ask, Val, do you know if the well has any sort of significance in here, in St. Stillwater's resting place?
The well is St. Stillwater's symbol. He was known for providing fresh water to those who needed it when he wasn't out protecting those people. He was ensuring that fresh water was where it was needed.
Excuse me. You see one other thing. And I know that this is the DM time where I'd be like, and the horrible monster comes and jumps out. But you can see up on the wall behind the well, behind this basket, you see some message scraped into the wall of the cave. This message is actually repeated multiple times. You can tell this, Val, as just because you know a bunch of languages, because it is a combination. It's one of those of like where the sign reads in 3 or 4 different languages. And one of them, notably, is the language of magic and the old tongue.
Ooh.
So we're talking ancient languages, like languages that date back as far as there is good scholarship for languages. And on the wall, written over and over in very precise script, reads, "I now have the privilege to serve my fellow mortals beyond my life in the place of my greatest triumph. May my remains be a seal on the dam between worlds until the gods return or until the war begins."
Val, can you read what that says?
I wish I couldn't. And Val will relay what it says. I, Sophie, as a player in debating, do I say it out loud? Because that sounds like something that can set something off. But you know what? F it. Let's set something off if it does. Val will relay it out loud to Cass himself. So presumably this is St. Stillwater's resting place. Is there anything else in this room that looks disturbed?
No. Genuinely, like, and again, I'm basing this off of the preposterous passive, like, passive perceptions that you guys have. Is this seems like it's not covered in dust. It looks pristine, but seemingly untouched.
Cass, hold on to Selv as he looks into the well. And I'll hold on to you.
Okay.
The well or the...
The well.
The casket.
I think we should start with the well.
And just to check too, we don't hear or see checkers anywhere here.
Not at the moment.
Okay.
So just to be clear, we basically have to go past the casket or the weaved mm-hmm. basket in order to get to the well. When we go past that, I'm just going to take a look and I'm not going to touch anything, but I just want to see, can I see through it enough to see if there's anything inside of it?
I was going
to
check for traps before we pass the threshold of the casket.
You've been tricked before. Yeah, I should have described it differently, in fact, because the top of this basket is slightly ajar. It's not off. It is still kind of resting on top, but it is not flush, I guess, with the thing. So it is slightly open. So if you wanted to take a peek, it's right there.
I think we have to, but I don't want to.
Well, it's better to know if there's something in there now as opposed to when we get past it and then it pops up and gets us. So as we go by, Selv will just take a look.
Mal's taking a step back by Adel Trigonometry before this happens.
Just one second.
I checked for traps.
Yep. Uh-huh. Sure. Selv?
Yes.
You approach this, as does everyone. You know, you're kind of walking up, figuring
out. No, battle trigonometry.
Okay, fair enough, yeah. 10 or 30 feet away, depending on the distance. You sidle up, and you try to figure out the amount of angle you need to see anything that's inside. It appears empty.
Okay, good, great, nothing here. Let's proceed.
Somehow I think that's bad.
Wait, where are the remains?
Are they in the well? That is weird.
I hope that voice we were hearing wasn't, you know.
And then Selv kind of like gestures with his head towards the casket.
Hey, everyone, give me a constitution saving throw, please.
13.
Casper has a 12.
Natural one.
Selv is thinking to himself, oh man, I hope nothing's down there. And then his brain hurts as once more you hear the voice echo through your minds.
It has been so long, but I can finally hear this accursed plane and its accursed mortals. And yet, home calls from me from this terrible place.
Selv is kind of like rubbing his head and just says,
okay, let's take a look in the well and, Cass, get ready to pull me back if anything happens.
And I will, I'm actually going to pick up the rock with the light spell cast on it and, head back towards the well.
Caskrin is going to kind of like hold your gi and like kind of brace you against the well, ready to lower you down or hold you up as needed.
Great.
Val grabs onto Cass and keeps an eye on the casket.
Two arms wrap around Val.
And Cass is actually going to tap the ground and cast Mold Earth around his feet to kind of like brace himself in there as an anchor.
Very cool.
Nice. So taking the rock with the light on it, first of all, just kind of like looking in with the rock, do I see anything, see a bottom?
So you lean over and you are kind of at the front of the golden tree stability chain, and you look over and it is a very rudimentary well, but it's not crumbling at all. It seems truly untouched. Next to you is like an ancient bucket still attached by like a chain, and your eyes start to peer downward, and at the bottom, just on the edge of your vision, you see what appears to be more water. Probably, again, 40 feet down below you.
Quick look at the sides of the well. Does it look like there is any kind of high watermark? Like the water used to be here and now it's there?
Yeah, that's a great question. But no, it doesn't seem like that at all. It seems like this well
while a wonderfully built thing that no doubt would serve any small village well for decades and decades has never once, like, touched water, essentially.
All right, then I will drop the rock in there and see if I can see when it hits the bottom of the water.
It hits the water. You guys hear a plop and a splash, and it sinks about 2 feet until the water, the light starts to go out and be obscured.
Oh, so almost immediately it's being covered up.
And alongside the plop of the rock hitting the surface of the water, you also hear, off in the distance, deep within the bowels of the well.
Ha! Hiya! Kick him! Get him! Go!
As the sound of Checker's voice reverberates into your ears.
From the well?
From the well.
Taskrin kind of yells down, it's like, did everyone else hear that?
Yes.
Yeah. Checkers?
Val, is that you?
Yeah, where are you?
There's no time to explain. You gotta get down here, fast.
And actually, Selv just, like, puts his hand on both Val and Cass and is like,
are we sure that's Checkers?
If Selv is telling you it's not me, it's definitely me.
That sounds like something a mimic would say.
It does also sound like something Checkers would say in his defense.
I would like to make a quick possible insight check.
Absolutely,
and determine
sure.
if there is anything sketchy in Checkers' voice. 13.
No. Genuinely, it sounds like Jonathan was saying it in a very funny way, which I am very into. To be clear, this is not a note. It was very good.
Yeah.
It sounds like Checkers, but it also sounds like Checkers actually, like, in a battle.
A distressed Checker.
Yeah, it was a distressed Checker.
Gotcha.
Exactly.
Sel, hurry, climb down and figure out where this is coming from. Val's, like, pushing him, like, worried yeah. about Checkers.
All right, so Sel turns to Cass and says, you can let go of me now for a second. And I will hop up onto the edge of the well.
All right, I'll let you know if it's safe.
And I kind of, like, give a little hop and shoop right down into the well. Self just kind of, like, starts falling and, like, bounces with his hands and feet to just do a little zigzag until to slow his fall enough that he could look out for any kind of passageway or tunnel that leads off of the well to somewhere else.
So you look around you. It looks like a almost spherical room to a degree where there's the wall and the, you know, kind of little mouth that you came into, and the walls pretty much just go straight out and curve downward from there. So again, it is as if there is just a circle almost carved out from underneath the ground. In the middle of this, and you're able to change your direction while you're slow falling, right? Like, you're kind of able to go at an angle.
I'm able to glide, like, for every far I fall, I can go that
perfect
far horizontally.
So very quickly, you see that on any side of this chamber is encircling the water that you saw is probably, I don't know, 10, 15 feet of land that is just mud. So as you're descending, you're able to just kind of angle your way down. See, there's a lot of water underneath me. I should go over to the side and kind of hug the wall. And again, it's 10 or 15 feet probably of land before it slopes into what you can now tell is just putrid, thick water.
So this well looks then more like kind of a potion bottle.
Yeah, that's, I think, a great way to describe it. Yes.
Yeah, we're like it's narrow at the top and then widens out towards the bottom.
Yes.
Okay, cool. Cass is going to send another message after seeing Selv glide towards the side of the well and just say, we'll be right there. And he's going to climb in after that without nearly so much grace or dexterity.
Wait, Cass, there's a bucket and more rope, and Val will, like, start
a chain.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And, like, start unwinding the bucket for Cass, and then, like, also hand him a rope in case he needs to be pulled to the side. Like, she's like, mom unpacking her bag. Like, I have it. And here.
And this chain looks pristine. There's no rust anywhere. It is as if it is a totally fresh piece of work.
Caspian's going to hop onto the bucket and like hold it down and like give Val the thumbs up.
And Val is just gonna slow his descent.
Yeah.
Like she's just gonna not gonna like let go of the handle, let him free fall. She's gonna try to do her best.
Very
to...
wise.
I feel like you have to make a strength check or something to prevent that from happening.
I mean, I don't know. Do you want to free fall into the putrid water?
I think it's more that Val is like going dead weight on the well and is like essentially letting like Castron's weight just push her without even trying.
Yeah.
But she is just enough of a counterweight so you're not just plummeting 40 feet. I am absolutely fine with that very doofy situation occurring. So you are being lowered by, or you are being slowed by, yes. Val has cast Bucket Feather Fall upon you.
I'm going to use my ability, Bucket Slow Fall.
So you are coming down and you can see you're coming straight down into the middle of this very gross looking lake, which again, you can even see in grayscale is like, yikes, slimy, dirty, gross. Are you going to go into said body of water, or do you have a plan or hope to get to a side?
I did not have a plan. I have many hopes, but no plans.
Great.
What I will do is, he's coming straight down the middle. I'm going to use mold earth and basically give him a handhold out the where the bucket comes down, so he could grab onto it and kind of give him a couple of handholds to move him towards the side of the water.
He would have to dangle and gymnast like monkey bars for like scores of feet.
He's in some amount of armor.
I gave you a rope for a reason.
Can I say also, while this is happening, while we're trying to do the get Caskrin over to the sides, and while Selva's trying to cast Mold Earth, you just hear it echoing throughout the potion bottle well. Ah! It's got my leg! Ah!
Val looks over the side of the well. Cass, are you in a good spot?
I am.
Val will unsheath Kurikwala and stab it into a gap in the tile next to the handle. And Cass drops a little bit as the handle hits the Kwala, and Val like sticks it in so it will hold the handle in place. Cass, I've got it stopped now. Get off and I'll climb down.
After feeling the bucket stop, Caskrin is going to look at a point off to the side and cast Stone Pillar, raising a new stone platform from the ground from this deep mud. And he is going to swing a little bit off the bucket until he can hop off and kind of like land onto this platform in the middle of this well.
How tall can you make this pillar?
I can make it up to 30 feet tall.
Okay. You need to roll me an athletics check.
Okay, great. And so Caskrin's going to try and jump from this bucket to reach the stone pillar. That is a 10.
So you're able to get a little bit of a head of steam going. You know, you're kind of able to just like swing back and forth on the bucket. And you muster the courage to take a flying leap, and immediately you know this is not going to be enough.
Shoot.
You go flying, and like you are on a trajectory for it. You've lined it up well, but you're just short. And you're trying desperately to reach out, to grab a hold of it, to scrabble. Maybe you even do the Gandalf, like, you know, you land on the side and like, ah, fly, you fools.
Yeah.
And then you fall in. But all of you see Caskrin tumble into this brackish water.
Caskrin splashes into the water and like tries to like push himself up, tries to find if there's like a bottom to this dirty brack water. And like, he's pretty heavy, like for a stone dwarf. And like the only way that he is treading water is like by the strength of his arms, not like, you know, any sort of athletic swimming ability.
Val, hearing a splash, gets really concerned and starts, she grabs some extra cloth and wraps it around her hands and just kind of like holds the chain to start sliding down. In kind of a controlled descent, but hopefully making her way as quickly as possible down this chain to get to her guildmates.
Val, as you are starting to slide down this chain into the bottom of the well, the three of you see something emerge from the darkness of this cave. While Checkers sounded desperate, while he sounded in trouble, the second you enter the cave, you just hear a little, "Got him!" as a large tentacle covered in jagged fishing hooks reaches out towards you and tries to grab onto you.
And at the same time, you see Kaskrin just doggy paddling again in some amount of heavy armor, weighed down by his rocky stature, and just, I would imagine, dwarves usually not natural swimmers.
Right.
You can see his head and his very wet beard just sticking to his chest. He's paddling over to get to you, blowing water out of his mouth, horrible brackish water, and you see his eyes widen for just a moment, and then he is dragged underneath the surface of this pool of water. And you all hear, for a final time, a voice enter your heads.
"Ah, more mortal meat to serve in the war. More, more."
And that is where we'll end this week's episode, everyone. Have a good time. See you next week.
The grill is coming from inside the house.
One grill only tells the truth, and the other grill only lies.
I remember that coming up in a Gen Con adventure that I played with you two, the chess one.
Oh, yeah.
And David's just like, "I kill both the guards."
Oh, yeah.
And he was just like, they started saying that. He's like, "Nope, I kill them both." And I was like, "Wait, I wanted to hear the riddle." And he's like, "I've heard it before. We're killing."
I never remember the solution either. And like,
well,
I
never heard that riddle.
Remember.
And it was just like David and Jonathan, yeah, like, "No, we kill
them." Yeah, I can't deal with this right now.
I think you made a correct choice.
Yeah. For it's like someone, 11:30, like, yeah, I'm killing both.
And for someone putting that fucking hack riddle in an official adventure, like, no. If you're putting a riddle in, it has to be unique.
It was a homebrew thing.
Yeah. It has
in
to be unique.
In their defense, I think this was the chess homebrew.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it ended up being fucking magnificent.
It was great.
Well, except for the riddle part,
except
which
no,
was dumb and bad.
Because we killed those two guards.
Yeah. Right, yeah. But that should be the canon option, is killing hacks.